We're going to continue with our series on facing life with faith. And right now, we're going to go into the second message that I have, and that is called Expecting the Best. Last week, we looked at what faith is and how we can face life with faith. We saw last week that faith is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that believes even if we cannot see it. It's a lifestyle that obeys even if we don't understand. It's a lifestyle that persists despite not feeling like doing it. And it's a lifestyle that gives thanks before we receive it and trusts God always, even if we don't receive what we're asking for. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Today we're going to discover how we can expect the best from God. So let me ask you this question. What do you expect today? Because if we're expecting nothing, then there's a very learned gentleman who wrote what he called the law of expectation, and this is Erickson's law of expectation, that says that 85% of what you expect to happen will happen. This law has no favorites. It'll either be positive or negative. It just 85% will happen. And so this last week I was reading this book called Great Expectations by Charles Dickens, and it wasn't as good as I hoped it would be. See, the truth is, whatever we expect becomes our reality. And so we tend to act the way we expect to act. We tend to achieve what we expect to achieve. And all our expectations influence our life. But God has a different viewpoint on our expectations. And he says this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21 in the Amplified Bible. God is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. I thought that was worth one little hallelujah, amen. That's who our God is. You see, God takes all our expectations and he's able to do far and above, super abundantly more that we dare ask of him. So if we've come to know Christ as our Savior, our expectation is eternity in heaven. Yeah? God says, yes, but. And it's a very important but. He wants us to experience a daily reality where life is filled with abundance, pressed down, shaken together and overflowing each and every day. And then we get to experience heaven for eternity. That's called superabundant, over and above what we expect. And this all happens according to our faith. Jesus said, according to your faith will it be done to you. You see, it's our confident trust and active belief in God's character and his promises that unlocks all that God wants to do in our life. And so God is saying, we get to choose how much more he can do for us. We face this choice in one of two ways, either with a positive attitude or with a negative attitude. And so we need to choose an attitude. John Maxwell say in one of his famous quotes says, our attitude determines our altitude, or attitudes determine our level of success. We can choose an attitude where we're fearful of making mistakes. Or we can choose to do our best and learn from our mistakes. But we can't do both. We choose to live trapped by fear, or we can choose to live in the freedom faith, a confident trust in God gives us. We have to make that choice. You see, we're either a pessimist, that is, we only see the negative side of life, or we're an optimist who believes in positive outcomes and anything is possible. Now, I won't ask you which one you are. I want to tell you the story of two farmers. One was a pessimist, and the other one was an optimist. The optimist looked outside and said, it's a wonderful day today. The sun is shining. It's good to be alive. The pessimist said, I'm sure it's going to rain and it'll flood and everything will be destroyed. And then one day the optimist said to the pessimist, he says, hey, have you seen the new bird dog that I've bought? He's the finest money can buy. The pessimist looked at him and said, oh, I suppose you're talking about that mongrel, you know, that pavement special that you've got chained up outside your house. Doesn't look like he's worth anything. What a downer. So the optimist said to him, well, come on, how about going hunting with me tomorrow? And the pessimist agreed, and they went hunting together, and they shot some ducks that fell into a nearby pond. And the optimist said to his dog, go fetch. And the dog obediently responded, headed towards the water, but instead of swimming, he walked on the water. Picked up the ducks, carried them back to, on top of the water, carried them back to the optimist, put him at his feet. And the optimist said to the pessimist, wow, what did you think of that? And the pessimist said, you obviously didn't teach him to swim, did you? Oh. One thing about pessimists, they are persistently at the same level, right? It's always going to be bad. Now, if we turn to the Bible, Job was a pessimist. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, he says, what I always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come true. You see, he focused on what might have been or what might happen instead of focusing on the God of, I can overcome everything. The God who wants to do super abundantly more. When we allow fear to be the controller or director of our life, our expectation becomes what we fear. And our focus is taken off God's promise of being able to do super abundantly more than we could hope for or dream of. And so our fear becomes our reality. But in the New Testament, Paul was an optimist. You know, Paul was arrested. He was imprisoned for his faith in Jesus. And still, he saw prison as a chance to worship and praise God, to encourage others to accept Jesus as their Savior. In his letter to the Philippians church in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 to 22, look at this. He says, I live in eager expectation. How many of us have eager expectation? I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that will cause me to be ashamed of myself, but that I will always be ready to speak out boldly for Christ while I am going through these trials. Just as I have in the past, and that I will always be an honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I must die. Paul could be cheerful, even if he wasn't happy with his circumstances. And his attitude was, hey, while I'm going through these trials, I'm going to live in eager expectation. I'm waiting for Jesus to come and rescue me. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm expecting it. Some of us are going through tough times right now. We don't know how God's going to rescue us, but are we living eager expectantly, eagerly expecting God to do something? You see, Paul confidently trusted God's ability to do what was best for him, even if it wasn't something that Paul could imagine or think of or dream of, because that's being optimistic. So what are you expecting God to do in your life for the next 7 days? Think about it. What do we expect God to do in our life for the next 7 days? Because faith is expecting the best. And we're going to look at how we can stay optimistic in these discouraging times. Because just like our muscles, faith needs exercise. It needs regular use to grow stronger and healthier. You could also grow and have a body like this if you went to a gym, which I don't do, and so don't do that. Yes. But I want to share with you 6 exercises. I want to go through 6 habits, if you want to think of it like that. That when we do them, our faith will grow stronger and better than it is right now. Because we need to take the time and the trouble to keep ourselves spiritually fit, says 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. Right? That's what we need to be doing. And so the first exercise that we have to keep spiritually fit is to start our day with faith. That's our first exercise. You know that the first 10 minutes of every morning sets the tone for the rest of the day. So what do I do, Lord, when I wake up grumpy in the morning? I've decided that I let her sleep. Whoopsie. I have decided to allow her to sleep in. Yeah, no, don't worry about it. Psalm 5 verse 3 says, listen to my voice in the morning, says, each morning, Lord, I bring my requests to you and I wait expectantly. So here's a challenge. This morning is full of challenges. Instead of when you wake up in the morning switching the TV on to watch the bad news, right, whether it be SABC bad news or ETV bad news, whatever it is, it's bad news, right? Instead of doing that, why don't you tune in to a worship station? And for the first 20 minutes or so, sing songs of praise. Join in with the worship time. And if you didn't know, on YouTube, worship Vineyard Music has a 24/7 worship channel. So you could play Vineyard worship music 24 hours, 7 days a week, and they sing songs we know. Isn't that good? Yes. Part of Listen to My Voice in the Morning, Lord, says that I begin my day with a daily devotion. And if this is not a habit yet, I want to recommend two different resources to you. The first one, which is in booklet form, which you can obtain in the entrance, that's available there. It's called Faith for Daily Living. These daily studies and prayers take about 10 minutes in the morning. And we can all wake up 10 minutes earlier, even in the cold weather. But if you prefer to be online and you want to have something on your phone or on your tablet, then, of course, YouVersion has just started a new thing, which is a daily exercise, also about 10 minutes, which is called Build Your Bible Habit. And they've named it the Daily Refresh. Right? Very good. Both of these help you to become spiritually fit. I think we should do it the way the gyms do it and have one of these large measuring things that measures our spiritual fitness. No, okay, we won't. Yes. So let's make it a daily faith exercise to hear from God first before we listen to what the world is saying. You see, starting our day with faith sets our attitude and our expectation for the day. We can make our day even more positive by declaring, by saying aloud what we believe and want to do today. Now, this is not positive thinking mumbo jumbo. It's reminding ourselves of God's goodness. Because it brings us to a positive outlook for the day. You see, when we speak out God's scripture, we build our faith because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Psalm 118 verse 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Psalm 136 verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." So just to consolidate the challenge for the week, every day, have a daily devotion. And then when you stand in front of that mirror and you see that handsome person that's standing there, or that pretty person that's standing there, say this aloud: "I will rejoice and be glad in today because God has given it to me. It's another day God has made just for me." See, medical research says to us that being optimistic about our day releases endorphins. You know endorphins? It's those feel-good hormones that are in our body. Right? So when we declare the truth out loud and we are optimistic about the day, we will feel better. So are you feeling down? Try the challenge this week. The second exercise that we have for the day is look for the good in all situations. In Romans 8, verse 28, God's word says, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." Because when we face the future with faith, our perspective is either optimistic or pessimistic. It's our choice. A pessimistic outlook is overshadowed with anxiety and fear. Whilst an optimistic outlook overflows with faith and trust. And when we look at the situation in our country today, we do need to be realistic. There are huge problems facing us. But you know, despite these challenges, we can still choose to be optimistic. We can choose to be optimistic about our life into the future. We can choose to trust that God has everything planned out. And that means that everything that is happening around us, He has already planned it. And it's happening for our good, even if we can't see it yet. You know, the more everything appears out of control, the more we have to rely on God. Remember Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good, not for disaster. Right? To give you a hope for the future. Right? To give you a future and a hope. I'm really not encouraging us to get ourselves trapped into this self-help way of thinking. It's not a psychological approach for us to begin positive thinking. It's none of that. I'm not calling on us to ignore the reality around us. But I want to encourage you to trust that God loves you with a deep and unending love that we cannot understand. And He wants the best for you. Because when our world appears to be falling apart, all we can do is hold on tightly to what we know. And we know that God loves us. Yes? That He is in control. And He is causing everything to work together for good. Even if we can't see it yet. So each morning we get to choose optimism as our outlook for the day. And then we move to the third exercise that we need to build into our life. And that is to give all our problems to God. And don't take them back again. Right? Because worry is what happens when we begin to take responsibility for issues and challenges that God never intended for us to have. We begin to try and play God and to be the general manager of everything, trying to manipulate things and situations to get what we want to happen. And when it doesn't, we get angry at God and we get discouraged. So what do we do when we're faced with a situation that looks impossible? Well, there's two things that we should start off by doing. And the first one is saying, God, help. We start praying. And the second one is we start reading Scripture, finding out what does the Bible say. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul says this, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. We thought we would never live through it." Anybody feeling like that? In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. You see, Paul had realized the value of giving his problems to God and not taking it back again. He left it in God's care. Because that's relying on God and not relying on our own abilities. So when we're facing any situation that appears out of our control, we give the problem to God and we allow Him to resolve the issues. We don't use our own abilities to do it, but we keep on asking God, God, is there anything you need me to do or you want me to do? And sometimes He will say something very strange to you. Like we heard in the testimony earlier, load the carcasses in the back of your bucky and drive home. And God organized a fix to fix the problem. Right? Whatever it is God says that we have to do, we need to do it. So He can resolve that situation. Then we come to possibly the most difficult of all the exercises we have. And that is, we need to eliminate negative words from our vocabulary. Not speak them out. Now here's the thing, I don't know if you're as nasty as I am, but have you ever tried to convince a work colleague that they don't look well? Right? Or to convince yourself that you're not feeling well? Oh, well, you know, this morning I'm really exhausted. I feel so tired. Excuse me. Come to think about it, I really am feeling tired. Let's just stop here. We can all go home. You know, we can talk ourselves into anything. Right? So how about we begin to eliminate, to remove, to erase negative words from what we say? Are you one of those people who, when you're trying to do something, you say things like, I'll never get this right? Well, you got that right. If you keep on saying it, you're never going to get it right. Right? It'll be true. You see, the Bible tells us that we should not use any negative words. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful. In fact, if you've got your Bibles open, take a pencil out and mark everything. Highlight it. Draw a big circle around it. Mark it as important. Everything you say, be good and helpful. So now I'm going to ask you to think back to what was the discussion you held when you arrived here this morning to be amongst your brothers and sisters. Was it good and helpful? And if it wasn't, what needs to change? Being positive when we talk is a major theme in the New Testament. Because being positive is expecting the best, always. It demonstrates that we have faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God. And that leads us straight into our next exercise, associate with positive people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, bad company corrupts good character. And Psalm 1, verse 1 says, he that is talking about people, he won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's or mocker's seat. Now, my mother always said to me, you'll be known by your friends. And I did not know how much she knew until I started working. Because some of my work colleagues, they love to spend time and money after work in the pub. And I used to spend time with them over the weekends at sports events and we used to have a good time together. But because we used to spend time together, they were seen as my friends, I became known as a drunkard, as they were. Now, those days, I used to ride a motorcycle, and my drink of choice was Coca-Cola. Because anything with alcohol and two wheels don't go together. Okay. So the problem was, no one asked me what I drank. They just assumed I was a drunkard. And they treated me like that. If the people we spend time with can only speak negative words about the future, not saying anything about what God says, consider changing who you're spending time with. Because it's always better to hang around those who speak hope, who encourage us to look for how God is at work in bringing good into all our situations. Because we really do need to be around positive people, to have a positive outlook, to be an optimist all the time. But we still need to keep spiritually fit by doing the last of the habits. And to me, what is about the most important, and that is that we remember our future. Our future isn't measured